So Matt was right last week. There was a text from me wishing luck. Typically, I will text whoever is preaching for me if they're from here, and I'll say, man, feed the sheep, because I'm jealous. I want to be up here doing it, and I know that I can't. But I did text him the list that we saw when we walked into David Matthews' room for the first time that the nurses had written up on the board. The three goals. But Matt only shared two of them with you. The three goals that David Matthew had that I have for myself, and I thought, oh, this was meant to be. Number one goal, keep warm. All right? That is not difficult now that I've gotten fat. I'm hot all the time, but keep warm. Be fed every 3 to 4 hours. Oh, yeah. That boy and I, we are on the same goals. And the third one that Matt did not share with you, probably because the Holy Spirit told him not to, but the third goal that was up on the board that he and I share, change diapers. That's good goals. That's a good day. We have just started going through verse by verse through 1 Timothy. And more than one of you have said, this is really hard. This is really rough. Or like Deanna and I used to say, we would sit in church, we'd look at each other and pull our toes up. Because it was a toe cruncher kind of a sermon. It was guilt. It was heavy. It was rah. And that is 1 Timothy. And sadly, today is no different. And you need to know, I wrote 1 Timothy not long after getting home at midnight from our trip to North Carolina, and I wrote it, and then I read it, and I thought, oh, this is a baseball bat to the forehead. Woo, this is good stuff. And then I remembered it was graduation Sunday and thought, let's lighten it a little bit. So I kind of changed the tone of it just a little bit different. It is hard to hear. Because when we're looking at a book of the Bible that says if we're focused on Scripture so much, not the way that Keith is talking about, being able to worship through Scripture, but if we're looking at Scripture for the do's and don'ts of life, we're not going to measure up, and we will give up. And that's 1 Timothy. It's hard to be able to dig into it and find some of the joy that's in there, but I promise you that it is there. But this morning what I want to do, I scrapped all the other stuff, and I kind of rewrote it this morning very, very early so that I could tie it in with the graduating seniors because we're almost rid of them. Tyler. And so I want to be able to do this and give them some goals to be able to focus on as they head out of here. So open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to, I don't know if you're leaving or not. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. It is toward the back of your Bible. You'll find it. If you're like me, every time you look for 1 Timothy, you go too far. And then you go, all right, that's Revelation. And you just keep going back thinking that it's there. But it takes a while, or tap that app. One of the things that I want you to see in 1 Timothy 1, we're going to begin in verse 18, is that Paul tells Timothy, the pastor of a church, hey boy, get ready. You got a fight on your hands. Graduating seniors, that is life. It's a fight. But the difficult thing with this is, Paul is telling Timothy to get ready for a fight in church. Oh, those are fun. Here we go. Verse 18. Timothy, my son. All right, he's extending that, you're like a kid of mine. I love that he's throwing love right out of the gate quickly because he knows he's in for a fight. I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. All right, so Paul's getting ready to tell him something hard, and he's telling him all the good stuff. I love you. God believes in you. In fact, when I said, oh, this boy's going to be a preacher, you know, it's all this good stuff so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Fight. I thought the church was supposed to be a safe place. And yet this church is fighting. You ever been in that church? Oh, we've been that church before. Have you ever been? It's fun, isn't it? No. And Paul tells Timothy not only to fight, but do you notice he said, fight well. fight well. One of the hardest lessons I've had to learn as an adult is that there are people that will play games. They want to take advantage of me. They want to take advantage of the church. They want to take advantage of the work environment, at school, on the team. They think it's all about them. And if they can walk all over you to accomplish that, awesome. And when they do that in church, it kind of creates this atmosphere that is very uncomfortable. And Paul tells Timothy, if you're going to fight, you got to fight well. Now, what I have said is, I hate playing games, right? There's a reason that I was called once the most uncaring pastor in Van Wert County, because I called someone out on their game that they were playing, and they decided they were going to play the game. If you force me to play the game, okay, I will play it better, and I will win. Now, I hate that about me, that I have to do that, that I have to fight and fight well. But if we're going to fight, I'm going to fight for the cause that Matt preached about last week on grace. We want people to know God's love, His grace, so that they can escape their past, they can escape sin, they can take all their insecurities, bottle it all up with the Holy Spirit, and go out and serve. Can't do that if we're fighting. I will stop those fights. I will fight the good. I hate to play the game. But man, if you force me to play, I'll play better than you will. And I need you to know that I will win. Are we a people that fights for what is right? Are we a people that fights for what is right? When I was gone, God turned his back on us for just a moment on a Thursday afternoon and closed all the Starbucks stores in America. And I'm like, God, you've abandoned us. What did we do? Because they were going to do in-store training about how to make Starbucks a welcoming place over bathrooms. Right? I'm not saying whether I agree with them or not, but they had a fight on their hands about who are we? What do we stand for? And everybody was watching what the outcome was going to be. Guys, as a church, we're in for the fight of our lives. People want to know what we stand for. You know what I think we should stand for? Anybody know? Love God. Love your neighbors as yourself. That's it. And seniors, I'm telling you, as you head out of here, you've got to do the same thing. You have got to boil your identity down to simply that. You are going into a world that is lost. Are you ready to fight? Have we trained you ready to fight in a good way? Now, here's what you need to fight. Here's your weapon, verse 19. All right? It's faith. If you're going to fight, fight with faith. Verse 19. Paul tells Timothy, hold on to faith in a good conscience. Which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. In that one verse, he mentions faith twice, once at the beginning, once at the end. And he's telling Timothy, if you're in for the fight for your life, you're going to have to fight with faith. Guess what faith means? You don't have all the answers. Guess what faith means? Your pastor doesn't have all the answers, if any answers at all. Right? And that's a difficult thing because we will find ourselves in a moment where we're like, God, where are you? And he's like, hang in there. No, God, you fix it all. Hang in there. And so we go to others, hey, I'm in this situation. I'm praying and God's doing nothing. And then suddenly the advice starts flowing. Right? Or we put some random message on Facebook. Oh, I love you. It's okay. What's wrong? Right? And nothing really gets solved. And Paul says that we've got to fight with faith. Now, if you notice at the beginning of the verse, there's a positive outcome for those of us who fight with faith. With faith being our main weapon, that God's going to take care of it one way or another, that we don't have all the answers. We're not God, he is. What's the outcome? Good conscience. Anybody got one of them? Can you please teach me how to get there? A good conscience. Because what happens to me is my insecurities like to go, hey Dave, how are you? Right? And just jump right into the middle of what I think is faith and all these doubts and all these worries and all this stress and all the, right? Grab a hold. And Paul goes, no, man, when you're fighting with faith, you got a clear, good conscience. Because you haven't done something dumb while you're waiting on God to do what God is going to do. Does that make sense? Look at the end of the verse where he mentions faith. There's a negative outcome to the people that think they're all about faith. And they want to play games. And they think that it's all about them. What's the negative outcome of their faith? Shipwreck. Did you notice that Paul said they reject it? Now, typically, these are the kind of people at the end of the verse that we put in positions of influence in the church. And they're captain negatives, right? The person that I had on my church board, down in my church in Kentucky, that we'd be all excited about something that we discussed that might be able to impact the community or get us out serving and stuff. And he's sitting in that middle row, picking at his fingers the whole time with a toothpick. Well, I think it's about time I had my say. And suddenly, shipwreck, we crash on the rocks, it's over. That will not fly here. Now listen, you're welcome to do that because it will simply expose where you need to grow, and we're going to encourage you to grow, but you are not going to shipwreck this church. My faith will not shipwreck it. Yours won't either. Okay? One, by the way, is really hard work. It is so hard to have faith that leads to a good conscience. That's hard. But it is easy to just shipwreck everything. Grads, listen, when you go away to college or work or whatever it is, you need, as Keith mentioned, to surround yourself with people that are like-minded. My daughter is going to a Christian college, right? And I told her the same thing that I told my son that went into the Marine Corps. You have got to find some like-minded people that believe in God, trust in him, they love God, they love their neighbor, and you've got to surround yourself with them because the world is a scary place. And I told my daughter, do not assume just because you're going to a Christian college, everybody loves God and loves their neighbor. Right? Now listen, the day she got to college as a freshman, one of the sophomore football players texted all the freshman girls. I still want to know how you got the number. Texted all the freshman girls, hey ladies, oh, that's smooth. Here's my room. Day one. But she got herself involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Boom. As a dad, I'm going, oh. Right? And she talks about it all the time because there are people that are spurring her along, encouraging her along, and she is involved in small group Bible studies. And whew, if you don't do that as an adult, as somebody headed off to college or somebody that's already there, you will crash. You will crash. Now listen, I've got a new perspective on this because as Keith mentioned, my kids go to church. My adult kids go to church and they want to go to church. That rarely happens with PKs. Right? Nobody's as awesome as Josh, Danielle, and Becky. Right? It's very it just is rare. But man, I want to be a church that when people leave here, they want to be involved in church. So be careful. You better fight with faith on your side, or you're going to prove yourself to be a fool. Now listen, this verse 20, this entire month I have kind of subtitled our sermon series Under the Bus. Anybody know what Under the Bus is? That's typically Greg when he's driving fast to get to school, and he's like, where's that kid? Oh, he's under the bus, right? And so I had to look it up online a couple years ago because everybody's using it, and I was using it, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I got thrown under the bus, and I'm like, I don't fit under a bus. What does it mean? And I had to look it up, right? It's somebody just go, ooh, did you hear what Dave did? Oh, no. And I get thrown under the bus, right? And this entire month, Paul goes, I'm not playing games anymore. I'm not going to be general with, you need to love Jesus, and then just leave and think you're okay. Paul names names. Wouldn't that be fun to do in church some Sunday? I just stand up here and go, that's it, I've had it. And I just start reading names. Woo! You know what that's called? Fired. That's what that's called. But Paul does it. Look at verse 20. Look at these fools. Among them, these people that shipwreck faith and destroy the church. Among them are Hymenaeus. That's a cool name. And then boring Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan. What just happened? That escalated quickly. To be taught not to blaspheme. The world. Okay, first of all, don't be a Hymenaeus. You should say that to each other when you're around today. Walk into Walmart and go, I'm not a Hymenaeus, and see what happens. I want someone to make t-shirts at JRCC. I'm not a Hymenaeus. You don't want to be a Hymenaeus. He's some idiot, along with Alex, who shipwrecked faith. And Paul throws him under the bus, or the ship, you know, throws him under the bus. Could you imagine getting called out in church? Hey, here's a good example of what I'm talking about, shipwrecked faith. Oh my gosh. And then he says, yeah, I handed him over to Satan. What episode of Buffy did we just walk into, right? It's like, hand him over to Satan. The first time I ever read that scripture was fall of 1984 out of my children's Bible, right? That calls Barnabas, Barney the preacher. And I'm reading this out of the children's Bible. Hand him over. What? I did not understand what's going on. Listen, it is this simple. If you want to be a fool and reject faith and shipwreck your faith, we have a responsibility as a church to not let you shipwreck someone else's faith or shipwreck this church. I don't ever want to have to call someone out by name. Now, I'm only going to do it when we follow what Jesus said in Matthew 18. I'm going to come to you directly, bring someone else along, involve the elders, and if at that point you're still like, see ya. Now, that's encouraging on graduating Sunday, right? And that's the difficult thing. He's calling them out. He says, these two dudes have rejected what God wants for them, for the church. They have shipwrecked their faith. And if you're going to consistently go against what God says without repentance, Matt last week talked about grace. And when we repent, God's like, okay. And we as a church are like, all right, let's set up some standards, some guidelines. Let's help you grow. That's not what I'm talking about. If you consistently decide to go against what God says without repentance, it's not going to be comfortable for any of us. Now, with that said, bring the kids back into the service. Okay. Grads, let me tell you right now. You might have to let go of a relationship that's toxic as you head out. Now, that's hard. Can I tell you what that meant for me? It meant letting go of a relationship that I had had for years with a gal from back home. It haunts me to this day. She hates me. Emails, messages. I'm not claiming that I was innocent at all, but it was a toxic relationship. And when I gave my life to Christ and I sought her out seeking forgiveness, 6'3", she's 5'2", and she jumped up and punched me in the mouth, one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life, and I probably shouldn't have laughed and said, "That was awesome!" Probably not the way to go. But I hate that something that decades ago that happened is still a part of who I am. Does that make sense? And I have had to let go of some toxic relationships, and I've had to walk through this tiny little town and watch people walking toward me on a sidewalk that walk across the street to get on the other sidewalk. And it hurts. It's toxic. And I think, man, I wish we could get back together. And then I realize, not until there's some repentance, right? So it's pretty simple. All we got to do is repent. Guys, we got to let go of relationships that are toxic. I might have to hit the eject button here at church. Would that not be cool that all seats had an eject button? See, and I could just sit here and open up my eject app and go, pshoom! That'd be cool. Should we do that? How many could you fire at once? That would be awesome. But know this, the fight is worth fighting. The fight of faith is worth fighting. Way back in verse 18, Paul says to Timothy, you got to remember, in the tough times when you're fighting that fight and you want to give up, you remember the prophecies that were said about you. You remember the good stuff. You remember that God called you to do amazing things that no one else could. So grads, that is you today. You are going to do more than you ever imagined. Safe! Mason, put your shoe on. P.U. All right, you're going to do more than you ever imagined. We as a church want to help our grads fight the good fight of faith. We've got Bibles for them before they leave, so parents, do not let them leave without the Bibles. So let's meet our graduates. Come on up, Kaylin, Madison, Shay, and Tyler. Come on up, guys. Just stand right here. I need to embarrass you, so everybody just stand right here in a line. Take a look at everybody. This is proof that God still works miracles, so if anybody ever doubts, these guys have graduated, and I think that is fantastic. Now, here's what you need to know about these guys. What you don't know about Shay is that every once in a while, I text her and I go, I need your help. And she always says yes. Now, I'm not telling you to text her and go, hey, help me, because she'll tell you yes. That is a servant's heart, right? She is someone that cares desperately for people. And that's what I love about her heart. She has a servant's heart. And I love that I can do that with Shay. And I know that she's going to take that with her wherever she goes. Tyler... sang at the Peony Festival yesterday with his friends, because it said so in the program. Tyler, did I sing with you? We're not friends? Fine. Tyler has gone through a lot of emotional up and downs in his life. A lot. But you know what? He's a hurdler. And I happen to know something about bird arms here. That when I worked with him years ago in the hurdles, he dedicated himself. Anything that I said, you got to fix this. It'll help you get better. He fixed it. He fixed it. He fixed it. And he got better. He did amazing this year in the hurdles. This is a guy that's doing the same thing with his heart. He's fixing it, and he's fixing it, and he's fixing it, and I have no doubt that he's going to overcome anything that is put in his way. And I love that about him. Kaylin keeps scooting back. Are you trying to hide Kaylin? Here's what you don't know about Kaylin. She can be bought with food. You can bribe her with food. I invited all four of these youngins to come to my Sunday school class this morning and said, hey, we're having food. Who was the only one that showed up? Who was the first one before anybody else got there? Who was going, where's the... I have seen her on stage, and I have seen her one-on-one down at the camp with little kids. And just the way her face lights up, whether she's performing for a crowd of thousands or just one, she has a smile and a laugh that is infectious. And I love that about Kaylin, right? Now, Madison, who we're getting rid of here soon, because you guys were like, yeah, we'll get rid of her. We will just send her out. I have watched her in children's church and at camp worship. Not just do things. I have watched her just worship and get lost with it. And she is one of the first people that will come up and go, oh, I heard our song from camp, or, oh, this was exciting. And she loves telling me those things, and I pick up on those things. Whether it's intentional or not, I pick up on it because I have watched her grow so much with that. And I love these four for that. And I am proud that they will represent Jennings Road wherever they go. Aren't they amazing? Families of our grads, please come on up. You guys might have to spread out just a little bit so families can get together. We're going to pray for our graduates. Good job. Families of our grads, come on up. Unless you don't want to be associated with your kids anymore. I'm like, they don't want to get up here and be associated with them. Church family, let's come on up and gather around them. We're going to pray for our graduates. You obviously do not have to come up, but we welcome you to do so. We're going to do this as a church family. It's just something that we do. It's who we are. All right, guys, let's pray. Father, we love you and we cannot thank you enough. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting old. I remember all four of these guys from elementary school. Just amazing. They are fantastic young adults. And I am so thankful that I have got the opportunity to meet them and to know them. But, God, I'm so thankful they're a part of our church. These are people that serve. Every single one of them have not just come to church. They've been involved. They're integral. They are so much a part of who we are, but they're a part of your kingdom, and I cannot thank you enough for them. So, God, we ask that you bless Shay and Tyler and Kaylin and Madison. All the excitement and nervousness of everything that's about to come, all the unknowns, I have watched both my son and my daughter do it, make amazing friends of people they didn't have a clue existed, but you did. And so we pray that you watch over them and bless them so that they might build your kingdom beyond these four walls. We thank you for them. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray. Amen.